2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. We're picking up with verse number 3. We sure blistered through the first two verses last time. I'm just smart aleck cynical comment there. Hoping to have been a lot further down the list than I got. But we'll just take it as we come. Amen. These perilous times that are mentioned in this verse, we talked about the perilous adoration, the love, how love is so much different in the eyes of the world versus the way the Word of God reveals it. Perilous actions of the present hour we're in. We covered some of those things and we'll continue on with that. We did use the thought as also the perilous atmosphere. The days of the Lord's return and the Antichrist is to follow that. I believe biblically the church will be raptured out before the tribulation. I'm not going to go through it. I don't want to go through it. Don't want to prove nobody that I can go through it. I want to avoid it. Amen. And a lot of things discussed with me this week concerning Emmanuel, whatever his name is, in France. He's the prime minister there who's on track to become leader of the UN. The speech of Charles from England. I don't know if y'all have seen those videos. I mean, I get a lot of conspiracy theory stuff sent my way. And one of the references that Charles mentioned at the climate summit was talk about the need of a military-style martial enforcement on the private sector to do things in climate change. And you already know that the way things have changed concerning the vaccination and the virus, and I'm not taking sides on that. I'm not trying to stir up anything on that. I'm just saying that we're living in the last days. And it's not, there's just a whole lot of things that don't, it wouldn't take a couple of pieces to move around. You might not see it yet, but I promise you God sees it. And it's coming to pass. But I'm not looking for the Antichrist as much as I'm looking for the Christ. Amen. And I believe the Lord will rapture us out. But we are not ignorant of what's going to happen, the atmosphere that we're going to be in. So this kind of alerts us to that. You should definitely see real-time things in 2021 that are going on that are relevant, up-to-date, biblical scripture here that almost blows your mind. Verse number 3, without natural affection. Now, parental affection is most of the time referred to here when you study those people that go that angle first. The unnatural abandonment and the love of family breaking down in the last days. We've seen that on the rise. Abortion that became so prevalent in the 70s is not natural affection. Now, I know some have been in situations where they felt they had maybe no other out. Obviously, they did not have a connection to a godly church and Christians who loved them, that were pro-life, that would protect life and promote life. But there are also some that they think it is their right over any life. They have the right to abort the baby. And many societies today, it's spread all over our world. It comes down to simply that there is no value and respect for life that God has given. There is abandonment going on where people do not want to take care of their children. They just abandon them. They let grandma and grandpa do it because they know grandma will do it and they have no responsibility over it. They don't invest. They don't pay for Fruit Loops and Pop-Tarts and diapers or whatever. They don't care. They've abandoned them and they'll sign over their rights. And you should naturally want to have your family. Amen. I know there are many situations where families are split and divided, which the Bible even teaches us about, warns us about those things. And because God knows the nature of how it destroys the home and it damages families. But it should not be. But this is the atmosphere of without it. It's not there. Natural affection. Mothers and fathers. No desire to raise their kids and love them. And how many young men and young ladies come up without one or the other And I'm not talking about because of divorce, but I'm talking about abandonment, absence. They're not there. Dad, well, father, 10 children, but you'll never see him there in their lives. And some of these sports figures, if you ever watch some of their stories, they come up without a dad, and when they get successful, it's one of the natural things within them. They say, when I have my family, I'm not going to abandon my children. I'm going to be there, because they missed it and they want to replace it. That's natural. They shouldn't want to do that. But boy, you see the atmosphere. There's so many in the perilous times that are mentioned here that will be without it. Christians need to accept responsibility. Amen. No matter how much the atmosphere pushes this, we should stand up even greater to accept the responsibility. And also to try to fill in the gap of those who do not. The fatherless and the widows and their affliction is the representative of pure religion. Amen. And our association with the children's home and any kind of connection with young kids in our church that come through us that have a parent that has been taken or a parent that is out of the picture, we ought to be connected to them in a positive way to fill in that gap, because it's not natural. But it is sadly part of the perilous times that we are living in. Truce breakers. Truce breakers. The word here and the thought of it is those who are bound by no promises. They can tell you all day, they'll promise you all day, they'll shake your hand all day, they'll sign contracts, but they'll never pay, they'll never follow through. People do that all the time. They buy things without any, no commitment. They're never intended to pay that bill, that debt. It's a situation around us today. They're held by no obligation, no oath. People will readily promise you anything, anytime, any way, anywhere, and never, and not one time in their mind do they ever believe, they never commit. They have no desire and no commitment to follow through with it. And that's going to be something that's going on in the last days around us, where people will promise that, you know, years ago, there was a pizza promise that if you got an order in, you get it delivered in 30 minutes, or it was free. Anybody remember that? What company was that? Domino's, wasn't it? Then some others took it up, and then it got to where they couldn't fulfill their promises, and they were giving away free pizzas all the time, so they quit doing it. But isn't that amazing that promise, to me, was connected to that company for several years, and many other pizza places had to step up to it because it stood out amongst all the others. But in the last days, what's going to stand out is it's going to be considered, oh, don't worry about that. Your word don't mean anything anymore. Your word's not your bond anymore. A handshake, a commitment, a contract, break the truces, break the agreements, break the contracts. Over and over, none of that. And he said, well, what does that got to do with anything? It's a breakdown of society. You don't trust anybody. You don't expect anybody to keep their word. Give you this thought here. People can take money out of your bank. They can steal your money over the internet, out of your bank account, steal your information, and all they do is just replace it for you and go on about their business, because the cyber crime, they just can't do nothing about it. It's just part of society. That's the breakdown we're around now. Righteousness and morality is pushed to the side. It's just, you just got to deal with it. That's just the way it is now in society. You're going to have your debit card stolen or whatever, your password, all that stuff. You're just going to have to get used to it. That's sad, but that's the atmosphere of the last days. False accusers. Slander, working to tear down the character of others, twisting words, making sound bites, making images on the internet. You might know it better as cancel culture. I thought, wow, what a way to describe that. The false accusations, the false accusers. Somebody can stir some false accusation against any one of us in here and ruin our lives. Some child could say something, somebody touched them, and you'd be in a mess. Somebody could say someone did something in this church, or I did something, or whatever, some leader in the church. All you got to do is just make a false accusation, and it goes viral, it spreads. And it used to be really bad years ago. I heard one preacher say that the lie of gossip will make it around the world before the truth gets its boots on. Well, it's a million times worse than that now. Stuff goes over the internet and it's across the world in a matter of seconds. And you never can undo those things. And stuff like that is happening all around us. People take sound bites in the political time frame when we had the presidential campaign going on. They take a little bit of something that was said, and then they would make another context around it and make people believe a different lie. They would accuse them of things, accuse them of racism or whatever like that. And it's hard to fight against that. Some people will have this belief or this desire or this way they carry themselves. And if some others don't like it, they'll make false accusations against them and they'll do everything in their power to counsel them in our culture and get rid of them. All they got to do is just make up some false narrative, some false statement, some false accusation. Sign of the times. Seems like it's never been easier and it's never been more desired. I think people want to believe the false accusations rather than to believe the truth. Oh, I know, my friend, I can't believe that. People would rather believe the false accusations. The spirit of Antichrist already at work around us. Then verse 3 goes on to talk about incontinent. This is a thought of no self-control. Living and really in focus and dedicated to break all the boundaries and break all the rules. Despising any authority or restriction upon them. They don't want government or teachers or preachers or the law, anybody to tell them what to do. And it's celebrated not to have any self-control. Nobody wants any self-government or restriction over themselves. And this is really one of the tenets, one of the teachings of Satanism. That you can just freely enjoy anything your flesh craves and desire, and there's no God that you'll ever be accountable for. There is no judgment, and don't worry about other people. It's the survival of the fittest. You just, no control's necessary. If you can't stop me and my control, then you're weaker. You need to get out of the way, or you deserve to be pushed under. And it's a sad thought that people don't have any self-control over sexual things, lust, other things in life. It's a lot of, and we could get on to a lot of other things that people don't ever preach about, gluttony and stuff like that. Boy, you don't hear much stuff about that, but that's the context of incontinence, no control. And it's a sign of the last days that people are not going to have that control. And then he said fierce. It's contrary to being gentle. Contrary to kind. It's connected to rage and anger. Expressing yourself in that. Road rage is a term that became popular probably about 20 years ago. Everybody knows what it means. You lose your mind on the road. You go in a rage and people shoot each other. They would think they're in a NASCAR event and they start beating against each other. And then there's anger lately been on airplanes, airlines, people getting in fight on the airplane. There's not much room to go there, is there? I don't think I'd be wanting to fight on the airplane. It's like, let's settle down and take this in the parking lot when we get there, and then I'd run, and then they can. But it's just crazy what takes place. People are fighting. Fans are fighting in the stands of basketball games and football games like nothing else. And a lot of it, they say it's because of all the confinement and the containment and all the stuff that went on during the COVID, I can't find the word, but anyhow, when people were quarantined, that's the word I was looking for. And it's amazing that you see all that stuff happening around people. People are just fierce. And you see it in the lines, in the lanes of the stores right now during Christmas time. People get... I was in a store the other day. Joanna's not here. I don't think she'll listen to this probably. But I was going to get her a gift card. And I figured I'm going to get a gift card. I don't normally go around that area. I had to go meet somebody to do something that they asked me to come. And I met them and I swept by that way, Woodruff Road, and I went to Hamrick's over there. I said, I'm just going to go over there since I'm not going to ever be back over here again. That's my plan. But I'm here. I'm going to go in there. And traffic on Woodruff Road was horrible. And I get in the store, and I come in there, and it was senior citizens 15% off day. And every one of them was there. I think y'all were there. Some group, Eastern Indian group, there's 30 or 40 of them, all have their little, you know, the dots on there. Every one of them, senior citizens, and all of them were in there. And I come out, I'm going to get my little gift card and get out of here. And the line was about 50 people deep going way down the aisle. And I was like looking around for somebody to have pity on me and take my card and money. But no. And so I went ahead and bit the bullet, as they say. I got in line, and everybody around me, this is ridiculous, and I can't believe this. And with hands full of stuff, tearing down people for shopping at Christmas. We don't exchange gifts anymore. We don't. I wanted to turn around and say, what in the world are you doing in the line? I wanted to get fierce, but I was self-controlled. Fierceness is pushed and prodded and promoted. It don't take much to get us fierce right now, does it? What do we do as Christians? We need control, self-control, kindness. And I got up. I was just different things interacting out in that war zone of shopping during this time. And I was patient, as I mentioned Sunday morning one day. And somebody said, thank you for being patient. And it exchanged in my brain that the Bible says love, charity, is long, suffereth long, is patient, puts up, waits. And I just waited my turn, went through, and was very sweet, so sweet. Y'all have been so proud of me, so sweet to that cashier. I didn't give her a hard time. And that's the way Christianity ought to be. You ought to leave that light as much as you can with them, as others might be fierce, contrary to all that around us. And then he goes on to say, despisers of those that are good, not lovers of good people. That's happening today. If you're good in any respect, morally or righteously, you are mocked and made fun of. It's made fun of in almost every avenue of our culture. In sports, if you let somebody go first, you pick a guy up off the ground or whatever, then you're not tough or whatever. Like, you just run over everybody, and there's no good sportsmanship. All those kind of areas there. People are just so cynical, and they attack good behavior. They make fun of it. You can't even open a door for somebody anymore. They'll come up with some little snide remark that they're very well capable of opening their own door. Thank you. That's the atmosphere we're living in. I'm still going to open doors, and I'm slowed down a little bit because I'm like, I don't know, that one looks like they might try to hurt me. People make fun of virginity. You try to teach your children to wait before they get married, before they have sex, before they get married, because the Bible teaches that. You try to teach that. Society, movies, music, the culture makes fun of them being a virgin. Somebody wants to abide by the law, the speed limit. People mock it, make fun of it. We even make light of it in church culture, trying to drive the speed limit. I don't always agree with all the speed limit signs, but I'm supposed to drive it. Ouch. But there's people despise you if you try to do right. If you go ahead and drive somewhere tomorrow, test. Hey, you be a beta subject. You test this out tomorrow. Beta test this. 35 miles an hour and see how long it is before somebody about pushes you in a ditch somewhere. Because they don't do that. That 35 might be for you, but it's not for me. Get out of my way. Don't let me get fierce on you, amen. Get out of my way. They don't respect authority. They don't abide by the law. You've seen it, especially 2020, all the rioting and things that took place. There's no respect of anybody else that they despise. If somebody stood up for something that was good, they destroyed it. They attacked honor. They attacked elders. They attacked patriotism. They attacked churches and preachers, and people make fun of that. That's perilous times. Amen. So if you see that around, then you've got to see it, church. The Scripture's telling us that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So if these things are being mentioned that are coming, and now they're here right now in your life, what does that tell us? they're here. They've arrived. That means it can't be very long. The last days means they're ticking away. Time is moving. Talking to my pastor's wife this week, and she said, the Lord told me that He's coming any minute. Not any day. She said, any minute. She means that thing too. Amen. Any minute. Despisers of good. You preach the gospel. You try to stand on the principles of the Word of God. Boy, people despise it. Despise it. Verse 4. Hey, hey. We got through a whole verse. It's only 8 o'clock. Traitors. Betrayal. Now, this happens in governments and other places. But I wanted to apply this. It's first of all, think about the betrayal, the traitors in the family unit. Where families get betrayed and people get hurt and all the pain that comes from that. And people that used to love one another and stood by one another, that all of a sudden they betray each other. Betrayal with friendships and relationships, jobs, work. People having a hard time finding people to work for them. But, you know, some companies are not having trouble. I don't think they got a lot of betrayal there. They got a lot of committed and dedicated people. Chick-fil-A is not the most perfect place, and everybody at Chick-fil-A is not a Christian, so please don't think that they are. Okay? But that place has got some stuff figured out on some Christian principles. And there's just an atmosphere there. You don't survive very long if you're not a hustler and you don't put the customer first and you got a certain attitude about you that's not bad and negative. You won't last there very long. And there's a commitment in some of these places. But some jobs and things like that, I was talking to somebody. Well, it might have been Mother Michael and I were talking about. I talked too much and talked to too many people, I guess. Talking to Sister Dyer about her son, Phil, they said they weren't going to have a funeral. They decided that they would, because at that point they weren't going to do that. Well, their company did not give him bereavement pay, which they should have given him. You still need bereavement for your mental, your grief, your heartbreak, even if you don't go through the physical timing of a funeral. He had to take personal time. To me, that's not a committed, that's betrayal. I mean, all the work you do, and companies don't care. It's like, no, there's just no commitment. And boy, you can see it rise to the top when those who are committed, they're dedicated, whether it's employees to the people or whatever, or church to each other. And the time around us, there'll be a lot of traitors and betrayal going on. People that betrayed each other in politics. And they did it a lot this year. And people have ratted and lied and accused anything they can to save their own hide. But in Christianity, the truth makes you free. You don't betray and are a traitor to someone. You just stand on principles of truth. Amen. And I have a friend that I had people wanting me to kind of turn on him and situations and things that were going on. And I don't know all the truth of it, but I knew the truth of this. He was my friend, and I would never cease to be his friend, no matter what happened to him or what happened in his life. I believe that's a biblical concept. Amen. I believe in the atmosphere of the last days and the perilous times, there'll be a lot of people being betrayed. Loyalty really is a thing of the past. Yeah. And he goes on to say, heady. This is a headstrong, rash, impulsive, run over you attitude, get out of my way kind of thing. Just heady kind of mindset. And people are that way today. I see it a lot when I drive. I know y'all think I'm a road warrior and all that, and I probably instigate more of these instances than I just observe, but that's not true. But I see stuff, I get upset. I don't get fierce, just calm. I haven't been fierce yet. But I watch people's life. They're the only one on the roads. Nobody else mattered. The light doesn't matter. The fact that I've been waiting to turn in this line for 10 minutes doesn't matter. You go around everybody and you go on about your way. I wish I could throw a yellow flag at like a football game. But you can't. People are heady, headstrong, impulsive, and they will run over you, and they don't care how they step over you. You don't matter. That's just part of the culture that we're seeing around us. Then he goes on to say, high-minded, full of themselves. Boy, listen to this, Romans 12:3. Paul said, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." You'll be reminded biblically that you're nothing but made out of dust. That's all you are. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and then he became a living soul. Without God, we're dust. There's nothing. And a man should not think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, the Bible said, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. To be puffed up, can't see their own faults, but they sure can see yours. They see your failures, but they don't have any. And they like to tear people down around them to make themselves feel bigger. It lifts them up. I mean, that's always been around. But boy, this seems like it's even worse today than it has been. And it's an end time frame atmosphere of being high-minded. You get around some people, they feel entitled. They think that they're royalty, whatever that means. Amen. They think they excel above you, that there's something better than you somehow. And I know sometimes in our society, maybe what you drive or what you wear somehow maybe makes a person think more highly than they ought to. Well, you know, swallow Romans 12:3 pill and it'll fix you, amen. Whether you're driving a mule or a camel, amen, or a goat. The Bible teaches us that, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So high-mindedness is an attribute. Than lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Wow. Instead of thinking about the virtual experiences, the meta universe, you know, Facebook changed its name to Meta, and it has to do with the virtual world on the internet, everything, the virtual reality. A lot of people are seeking pleasure in all these virtual worlds. You know, they're selling, if you had some money, you might could make some money off this, you know, because you love pleasure more than you love money more than you love God. But they're selling fake real estate on the internet, in the metaverse. Now, I don't even have fake real estate. I can't even sell it. I don't even own it. You can buy make-believe stuff and sell make-believe stuff to people and get real money, sort of thing. What a world we're living in. The world's just pleasure-driven. They're seeking sensualism. They want stimulation. They just want some kind of feeling and experience. They want to stimulize and move the flesh almost every waking second. And the spiritual and the holy, it says it chooses that rather than, right? Rather. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's out of balance in their life. Those things are sought after, the pleasures of this world. And I know we are taught in the Bible a balance that there you could enjoy the fruit of your labor, or certain things like that are mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes, but there should be a balance. But there won't be a balance in the last days, in the perilous times. It will be more than God. Everything's more than God. And you know it's the truth. Won't be long, you'll see this. You know, step on some toes, but so be it. When the Super Bowl comes, Sunday don't matter to that. Super Bowl is the pleasure. It's the king. It gets all the highlight. Church is bottom of the barrel. And some churches say, well, let's just have the Super Bowl in the church. Well, the problem with that is the immorality and the beer commercials and all the stuff you'll see that you're bringing in that worldly stuff into the church. You can't balance. You can't come to me and tell me that balances. Now, you can, you know, watch it and look at other things or record it. I record a lot of stuff and fast forward through all that stuff. I don't even know what people sell anymore. I fast forward through everything. I don't even know what people sell anymore. If you're thinking you're buying something from commercials that I'm watching, they fooled on that one. I don't watch them. But the world wants pleasures and pleasures and pleasures. And you'll see the world will close down for pleasure. But the spiritual and the godly, many years ago, some of you younger, I say younger, it's starting to hurt me to say that. Somebody that's 30 years old, and I used to be there. But years and years ago, with you older folks, that felt better, amen. They closed down the mills during revival. They might close down a lot of stuff to take in the harvest and the crop and the fields because it was a livelihood, it was an important. But then when revival would come in, they'd close everything down to focus on revival in those towns. And they saw revival and souls were saved and lives were changed. And you can't get anybody to slow down hard to anything because everybody, it seems the society, the atmosphere is more after pleasure than it is God. And that's going to be worse in the last days. And we'll pick up with verse 5. Well, we sure blistered through those verses, didn't we? But there's a lot of stuff in there. We'll talk about having the form of godliness. We'll get in a couple more verses there. There's a lot in this chapter. And when I get into the part of... I won't get there yet. I won't open that up. I have a can of worms on some of this stuff. We'll get to it, amen. But verse 16 and 17 really end well. It's good that that's just a real comfortable, nice scripture. Nobody gets upset about. Everybody agrees with. Amen. So it'll end well whenever we get there. But there's a few tough spots in the middle there. But listen, these are the perilous times that are being revealed to us. And if you can't see that, you're living in them. And when you see it happening before you, know the time you're living in. Don't stick your head in the sand, so to speak, or hide, but realize you're supposed to counter that. When you see the fierceness, you be a peacekeeper. You be a peacemaker. You be an agent of peace. When you see darkness, you be the light. Amen? You hear the curse words and all the damaging thing, you glorify the Lord and you speak things that are truth and gospel. You look at things that are kind and considerate and the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. You let those things counteract these things. You're not going to defeat it. But you display what is Christ-like character in the midst of the spirit of Antichrist that's all around in the world around us. So we'll pick up, Lord willing, on verse 5 next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word. Lord, it's very difficult to ignore that we are living in the last days. They're not coming, they're here. Lord, we may be. Moments, minutes, I don't know. But God, we need strength and grace to abide, to live in this moment, this day. If you give us tomorrow, we're raising our children in this atmosphere around us. Help us try to equip them in the truth that will make them free. Help us, God, to stand on the truth, the principles of the Word of God. Let us learn how to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that we might have the love of God that love would show into this world when I could win others, Lord, win some that are in the darkness, that are lost. They could see the love of Christ within us in the midst of all this darkness. In Jesus' name we pray.